The fireplace is burning bright, shining all on me. I see the presents underneath the good old Christmas tree. And I wait all night till Santa comes to wake me from my dreams. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. Another beautiful night, my dearest listeners. Now you're listening to the Christmas special of Action Frames. We've done several special programs before, such as Love Actually and Harry Potter series. But things are a bit different this time, because all the six films our journalists prepared for you are LGBT related. LGBT, as we know, is an initialism that stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender. This year has been a big year for the sexual minorities. Ireland became the 20th country to legalize same-sex marriage, and the US Supreme Court invalidated same-sex marriage bans in any US state and certain territories. To show our support for love and equality, we decided that this Christmas special should be about LGBT-related films. In the following segments, there will be six brilliantly made films to be introduced. They are Fingersmith, Pride, Christopher and His Kind, The Talented Mr. Ripley, Bound, and Cloud Atlas. Hope you'll enjoy our program as always. Here we go now.
The only gift I'll ever need is the joy of family. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to see you in this Christmas special. This is Elva.
And I'm Sine. For your information, this is going to be our last episode for this term. But no need to be sentimental, because after a short winter holiday, we will meet our audience again. Alright, so what are we going to talk about, Apollo?
We're going to talk about Fingersmith, a classic and typical three-part BBC miniseries which was televised in 2005, telling a love story between two women.
Yes, what makes me love it is not only the end of this term's program, but also the beautiful but sorrowful love in it.
While the story, which is an adaptation of Sarah Waters' Man Booker Prize-nominated novel, follows the meeting of two very different young women and what madness ensues. Directed by Aisling Walsh, it stars Sally Hawkins, Imelda Staunton, Elaine Cassidy, Rupert Evans and Charles Dance.
Actually, I do admire the author for her ingenious ideas of plots. Set in Victorian England, I thought it was no more than a miserable story about a poor young girl who was cheated into marriage by a bad man, and at last, the guy framed her, let others believe she should be put into the madhouse, so he can take control of all her fortune. At most, there was an incident that she fell in love with her maid, who turned out to be the assistant of the cheater.
The Fingersmith is much more complex than you could have imagined. Following the development of the story, it's so sweet and touching to see Maud and Sue get used to each other, build up close relationship, and finally cannot be separated. Then, just like a joke of screenwriter, when you nearly identify with the dilemma of Sue, it tells you Maud, the lady who seems to be innocent, is in alliance with Mr. Rivers, the cheater.
Yeah, I can still remember how shocked I was when Sue was mistaken as Mrs. Rivers and put into the madhouse, suffering cruel torture. And when I came to realize what happened, I just thought that Maud was such an evil woman that she betrayed their love. Though Sue failed to defend their love when confronting with personal interests and moral innocence.
Just till half of the series, I have felt the struggling in both of the two girls. I was doubtful if the story came to the end. Surprisingly, conspiracies were just uncovering their first layer. Mrs. Saxby proved to be the chief instigator who hatching the plan of marriage cheating.
But what's more, she revealed Sue and Maud's identities, which was a secret to everyone.
To a certain extent, it seems ironic that her real daughter took her footsteps, because Marion Lily, the poor woman, was regarded as a shame and sent to madhouse by her own brother.
Additionally, what's like a skeleton in the cupboard is that the books Maud's uncle cherished and considered as treasure are all erotica. Like poison, they have corroded Maud's pure heart since she was a little girl.
In other words, Maud only looks like an elegant lady, but her inside becomes silent woodiness. The only desire is freedom. Therefore, when gentlemen came to make a deal with her, she agreed eventually.
Yeah, but when Sue came into her world, everything changed. Maud felt the passion of love for the first time and for another girl. Probably it's fated that Maud makes poison, writing erotica herself for a living in the end. After so many hardships, Maud has become a tough flower, expressing her intensive love for Sue and waiting for her to come back.
Hey, don't be a wet blanket! Many of our listeners have not watched it yet!
Okay, I'm truly sorry. I just love the miniseries so much that I...
Well, never mind. The plots of the story are extremely fantastic. Since you just say you love Fingersmith very much, do you know that it is full of symbols?
Let me see. Yeah, Fingersmith is a nickname of thief in Victorian time. It also indicates the identity of Sue.
Yep, besides, Fingers also second in the girl loves things.
As a matter of fact, Fingersmith is more of a suspense story than homoerotic novel. Maud's beautiful gloves stand for themselves. The gloves reflect Maud. Fancy pearls are the symbol of Sue.
And the rule of wearing gloves in the library represents the force of man-dominated world. The love struggling with worldly prejudice and the behavior of destroying books shows us the fight of female personal senses.
Yes, that's it. This thought-provoking series does move us and give us deep reflection.
So, although reluctant, it's time to say goodbye.
Hey, don't forget that next is our flashback. We will come back to the clip where Sue succeeded in escaping from the madhouse and back to the lamp street.
This is Apollo, Cynic, and Elva. Merry Christmas!
Also, have a happy new year. Have a warm spring festival.
She took it.
Mrs. Saxby?
Miss Maud. And she gave me this.
She's mocking me.
What is it, the two of us?
I'll mock her.
Well, he gave me a pound for the watch.
Come on.
Someone who thinks Smith's cutlery and jewelry.
Is that what you've told him? That I stole your jewelry? You've got some bleeding cheek. You nearly broke Mrs. Saxby's heart. Oh. Give me the knife. I've got no argue with you, John. Or you, Dinty.
Sue, dear, you ain't yourself.
I ain't Mrs. Saxby. Not after what it did to me.
Sue, leave now.
You'd like me to do that, wouldn't you?
Before the gentleman gets back, you don't know what's really happened.
I know you've got my clothes. Even got my bleeding bangles. Why? Isn't your fortune enough? Isn't what you did to me enough?
Please go.
You put me in a madhouse.
You plan to put me there.
I wish I had.
To cheat me, to kill me.
I will kill you.
Oh, you old cow! You've been down on me ever since the day I was born. Touch me again and you know it.
I never believed you took off with the jewelry. I went along with the others because they thought me a sentimental old fool, but I knew deep down. Give me the knife.
Did you?
I did. I thought, no, not my Sue. I thought I'd never see you again, but I had a man out looking for you.
You brought me up as your own daughter. I knew you would.
Sue.
Your carriage awaits. Hello, Charles. My boots have never been the same. Sue?
She's just told me what you've done to her, so you'd better go.
You found me out. I'm a villain, Charles.
Honest to God, Mr. Rivers, I never meant to.
Get out! Don't let him go. He'll only go to Dr. Chrissy. Stay. There.
fair. You're right now.
Oh, damn it, how the poor bitch, how are you, sir?
Just don't say any more.
Oh, my dear wife.
Having no feelings at all?
Not that I know of, but I know you have. Damn it, Maud. What does it matter to you? You're a fully-fledged villain now. You don't have to care about either of them.
Gentlemen, enough.
Now I see the resemblance.
No, you see nothing. Nothing.
No, he knows nothing.
Why did I never suspect it?
Stop it.
You won't even kick and curse unless she lets you. Oh, this is wretched. Did you know Mr. Eves?
My heart.
Your heart? You have a heart, Mr. Eves?
Fill it here.
No, I should get your daughter to do that.
Grace! Grace!
Grace!
Grace! Grace!
Hear me. Are you tired of the long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Merry Christmas, my dear audience. I'm Stephanie with Charles and Anne. So, did you have a great Christmas Eve?
I guess I did. I went to a party and it's fantastic.
Well, not for me. I spent the whole night writing my final papers in a library.
My gosh, seriously? Poor you.
Yeah, you know, almost every professor requires a paper and they're driving me crazy.
Okay, God bless you. However tired you might be, our program has to continue. As you know, this week we're going to make a special episode about LGBT films. Talking about them, you can never ignore Britain.
Wow, but why?
Well, just, you know, many gay movies, agreement to gay marriage bill, and so on.
I got that good. So the film Pride is one of it. It was adapted from a true story happened in London.
Yes, and it happened in about middle 1980s, when AIDS just broke out.
And people were not completely open for homosexuality back then. So, talking about the plot, it begins with a boy being dragged into a pride parade and later set up an organization called LGSM, several gays and a lesbian to support the minors.
Excuse me for cutting in, but LGSM stands for?
Lesbian and Gay Support the Minors.
That's right, and I think that's the vital point of this film. This group was not designed for their own pursuits. They were striving for the rights of the minors.
Maybe our audience will be confused now. Let me explain. In 1984, Mrs. Thatcher, who was known as the Iron Lady, suppressed the strikes of the workers with a strong hand, and that strike was on the largest scale ever.
So the main force was the miners?
Yep, and what's interesting, a group of young people wanted to do something as a support, but at first they were refused for their sexual orientation.
They really did a lot. In fact, the LGSM truly existed at that time and had 11 branches across the whole country. The largest were the one we saw in the film. The main characters all have their prototypes. Sadly, one of them died of AIDS in 1987, but the rest are still leading a nice life now.
And I've heard that the gay couple in the film, Jonathan and Gethin, referred to Jonathan and Nigel in reality, are still together now.
Oh, that's sweet. Actually, I've checked online for more details about that unique union. Turns out that many of what we see in the film were true.
Like what?
You remember seeing that the girl who said that she welcomed LGSM only because those gays are the first group of dancing men she had ever met?
Ooh, so that did happen in reality.
Besides, some of the miners' homophobic words were drew from the real couches. You remember the one claimed that he could not accept LGSM because he would not like to get AIDS?
Oh, that hurts!
Indeed, but now I move on and say something to make you guys laugh. I bet that every one of you remember the song The Lesbian Song in the Vamps. Every woman is a lesbian in the heart.
You know what? English expert recently suggested that women are either gay or bisexual. The lyrics do make some sense, you know.
Okay then, what's the fabled part?
That should be the ending. The truth is the miners and the LGSM supported each other till the strikes ended up. In the film, the miners even voted to reject the supporting from LGSM.
Yeah, maybe for the need of dramatic conflict. In fact, the principles of LGSM is supporting the miners unconditionally.
What's more, it is worth mentioning that the LGBT groups had struggled to make the Labour Party add the regulations about protection of homosexual groups into the constitution for decades. This motion failed every time until the miners voted to pass it unanimously in 1985.
I noticed that Joe, the corseted boy, was the only character completely made up. He's the normal one and seems to represent the ordinary perspective. How do you think of that?
You're right, he represented the popular views to the homosexuality back then. So you can see he is the only person continuously growing up in the film. He is craven, but he persisted all the time.
And that makes me recall the scene that when Mark knew there's no hope to keep supporting the miners, he just freaked out and escaped. And he didn't come back until the strike was over.
Like you said, he seems like the leader but pretty the first. That's a pity, but maybe always take place in life.
Well, fighting for liberty is never easy. Many people love to compare the human rights and the LGBT regulation things between China and Western countries. But I think no matter how the LGBT protection and recognition fall behind now in China, at least we are advancing.
And we started later than West.
Yeah.
But most homosexuals in China can't come out easily, can they? You know, traditions add too much pressure on them. First of all, their parents cannot accept that.
Of course. In a movie, Joe's parents couldn't accept that either.
What you mean in 1985? Come on, this is 21st century.
For God's sake, we're in different development state. The country needed time to improve.
Alright, stop arguing. You can preserve your own standpoint in your mind, okay? Crawling is useless, but love is fair to everyone.
Well, that I agree.
I agree too.
But who are we to change anybody's mind?
Well, at least we can try to change ourselves. Besides, if anybody around you still hold prejudice against LGBT, you can try to persuade him or her, starting with inviting him to watch Pride together.
If that worked, it would be the best.
Time always passes so quickly. Time is up for this film.
At last, I recommend the film Pride to you again. Hope you will enjoy it. I'm Daphne.
And don't forget to stay tuned for the other great films. I'm Charles.
And this is Anne. Bye.
Clip 1.
I'm not talking about running away. I'm talking about making dignified exit.
Tomorrow before dawn?
We can't just waltz into a town like this and expect them not to
slit our throats.
Just be cautious.
I don't know about anyone else, but I don't want to travel to Wales to get my head kicked in. I can very easily get that at home.
Anyone who wants to go should go, but I came here to help.
Yeah, but they don't want your help.
Well, they can tell me that to my face. Until that time, I'm a member of LGSM and I'm going to do what I'm set out to do. No hiding, no running away, no apologies.
Me too.
Yeah.
And me.
Clip 2.
What the hell are we doing?
Now let's get this finished, Mark.
No, I mean, what the hell are we doing? They would never have known we were here if it wasn't for the article.
So?
So they would never have found us.
So what are you saying, Mark? Ash just set up the bill?
Do you know how many people read this paper? That is our chance to do something spectacular. We could never drum up this kind of publicity in a million years.
Mark, don't you just think we ought to hold back and regroup?
There isn't time to regroup. This is a news item now. Today, we have to take advantage of that.
They called us perverts!
Bromley, it's time for an important part of your education. Hands up in this room if you've ever been called a name like that.
Now, there is a long and honorable tradition in the gay community, and it has stood us in good stead for a very long time. When somebody calls you a name, am I right about this, Jonathan?
That right.
You take it, and you own it.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
My lovely audience, guess what?
It's Christmas!
Exactly! Tonight, we're going to present a fantastic Christmas special. I'm your host, Chloe, and here, who you just heard, our guests, Jake and Monica.
Hi!
In this section, we'll be talking about the film Christopher and His Kind.
I love LGBT films! Well, to be honest, I only have a thing for the G part, but I'm sure you all know it now.
Yeah, you never cease to fill us in. Luckily, the film we're introducing tonight is exactly your type.
Yes, directed by Geoffrey Sachs and starring Matt Smith. This movie is about gay writer Christopher Isherwood, who travels to Berlin all for the sake of boys. In search for gay and gay sex, he leaves his hometown and gives up his career as a doctor just for sexual freedom.
Is it vain, you may ask? Yes. Is it reckless? Completely. Is it completely stupid, considering there's war going in Berlin? Of course. And does Christopher completely ignore this and go on crusading and falling in love? Yep. You should watch this movie and see for yourself. The humor and optimism set on backdrop of war and genocide.
Handsomely shot, lovely recreating the period, and with the twinkling tongue-in-cheek feel, not to mention some lusty sex scenes. Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. Top drama.
Just between us, speaking of ass scenes, which do you prefer? Chris with Heinz or Chris with Casper?
Well, I'd say Heinz. Though with Casper, their relationship is more intense. With Heinz, Chris finally learns to truly care for someone and protect him. That is what I call true love.
And that love was brilliantly performed by our lead actor, Matt Smith.
Sure. As far as I know, he really put great effort in portraying this character. To research the role, Matt Smith read Isherwood's novels, watched video footage of Isherwood, and traveled to the United States to meet Isherwood's longtime companion, Don Bacciardi. He said afterwards, just seeing the love Don had for him, and to be in a space where Christopher had lived and written was very informative.
Among many hardworking actors, Matt is unquestionably my favorite one. Perhaps it's because I am extremely fond of the actor. I found his performance compelling and warm, though a bit awkward. The greatest fault I found with the movie is probably that Heinz in the last bit in 1952 looks more like a woman impersonating a man than an aged man. Overall, definitely a film I would recommend.
By the end of the movie, though, Smith had become this other character, especially because of the emotional arc of his relationship with Heinz was wonderfully complex. And with a bittersweet reunion life, Matt shines brightly, being appealingly rakish, thoroughly disreputable, charming, posh, clever, and very funny indeed.
Yes, but apart from the fun, there is also a very serious subject, the Nazi. Firstly, the scenes of the Nazi are well created, especially the one when Nazi had taken over Germany and roof-to-ground Nazi swastika banners were hung high. I felt initial horrors of Nazi taking over at once.
As frightening as it to watch the Nazis slowly permeate the entire country, there is a very telling scene between Christopher and the landlady of the building he lives in. She is puzzled by why he wants to leave Berlin and why he explains that it is because of Hitler and the Nazis. And he basically says, "Why would I leave? This is my home. You can get used to anything."
It's sort of sad watching people giving up hope. But again, one tends to forget just how progressive and free-spirited the pre-Hitler Berlin was. To watch while the city slowly falls to Hitler and to feel the pain of families and friends being torn apart is genuinely heartbreaking. And think about those innocent people being tortured in the concentration camps, I just wanna cry.
Hey, easy! I get your point. Sadly, people's negative attitude is the mentality that allowed Hitler to get such a solid hold on Germany. Oh, seems this film is really thought-provoking, isn't it?
Above all, I recommend this film to anyone who loves history and fantastic acting and British film work. Of course, as long as the idea of watching men kiss and have sex and Nazis doesn't bother you. Yeah.
Well, it certainly doesn't bother me, you see.
Hey, Jack, you're doing that again. I'm afraid there's very few time left for your speech. So,
time we send our listeners the best wishes as goodbye, which are
Merry Christmas!
And stay tuned.
Is your room satisfactory?
Ami is not retarded.
Where you sleep? It's good, yes?
Yes, I sleep good.
Yes, good.
Thank you.
How long have you known Christopher?
Mummy.
Shush.
I know Christopher 1 year and 1 half.
Oh, that long? And he's hardly mentioned you, if at all. And how long are you staying in our country?
2 weeks.
I'm sure Heinz can answer for himself, can't you, Heinz?
2 weeks.
You see? What a shame it's not longer.
2 weeks is as long as his permit allows.
Then maybe another time.
What is that? Oh, now.
Christopher. That, Heinz, is Wybersley Hall, part of the family estate. It's in Cheshire in the north of England. I painted it as a matter of fact.
You painted?
Yes.
It's very good.
Thank you, Heinz. That is the house where I gave birth to Christopher. And very difficult it was, too. I was in labor for 18 hours. 18 hours! Imagine that!
Mummy, please.
Oh, dear. That was rather modern of me, wasn't it? But it was worth it. He was the most delightful baby.
I'm sure Heinz isn't remotely interested.
He had a lovely skin and long, slitty eyes, just like a gent. You see, of course he's interested.
You live in a past, Mummy.
Perhaps I do, Christopher, because it's always there and never lets me down. Do you have a mommy, Heinz?
She's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh dear, Christopher's dad is dead. He was killed in the war.
He was my daddy too.
Yes, dear, but you hardly knew him. He was killed by the Germans.
What are you thinking of? Ow!
I'm not blaming Heinz, darling. I'm simply filling him in.
And for your information, Hans' daddy was also killed on the Western Front.
Well, there you are, you see. That's what wars do. Kill people. Toast?
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Now it's time for another talented movie, The Talented Mr. Ripley. This is Charles Broadcasting.
And this is Judy together with Elva. Really glad to introduce this great work to you. Maybe I should prompt first that this movie is not that concentrated on the sentiment part as the previous one. Well, precisely. The sentiment part may take about 30% in it.
But all are the pivotal part.
Great.
since the talented Mr. Ripley should rather be called a thriller, a crime film, than just a love story.
Oh, I know that. It is a thriller classified on Google.
I prefer to have someone briefly introduce the plot to our audience. Charles, do me a favor.
All right. Our main character, Tom Ripley, was a poor young man. However, he had a talent that he can copy others' handwriting and their voices. Also, he was extremely good at imitation. By chance, he was commissioned by Herbert Greenlee, a merchant of shipmaking, to persuade his son, Dickie, to return to America. However, when Ripley arrived in Italy and had a glance at the life of Dickie and his girlfriend Marge, he uncontrollably fell in love with Dickie as well as the life he led. With that strong feeling, Ripley became out of control. After Dickie firmly rejected his confessions, he killed Dickie on a ship with which they prepared to sail to Venice together.
Some of you may ask, is that the ending? Of course not. It was just the beginning of the talent of Ripley. But today, we shall keep the later plot as a suspense. What I'm able to review is that Ripley has stolen Dickie's life, and almost everyone that knew about Dickie had been successfully hidden from sight.
Successfully? I don't think so. He had hurt so many persons, even those who cared about him a lot, and gave him help when he was upset, such as Marge, such as Peter. It made me rather frustrated and sad when the story came to an end.
Mention about Peter Kinsley. Anybody know his actor's name? I think he was really handsome, but I wasn't able to recognize his face.
Oh, I know him. Jack Davenport, the 18th line actor in Britain, with a good face, magnetic voice, and extremely few film works.
Okay, I get it. What? An 18th line actor in Britain? Okay, I know you must have been joking, but I have to say I really don't see him quite often in Hollywood works.
Yes, not quite often, but see, these may be able to stimulate your memory. Jack has been casted as the naval officer of the British government, Captain James Norrington in Pirates of the Caribbean series, also Lancelot in Kingsman: The Secret Service. And hey, Judy, it's unfair to say that he had extremely few film works. As I know, Davenport preferred to work behind the cameras. That means you may not see him often in the film works while he was actually making contribution to them.
Alright, is that all true? No wonder I feel familiar when I saw Peter's face in the film. By the way, Peter was really a gentleman.
Yes, quite. And I can strongly feel that Peter was the one who really loved Ripley. But finally he got an ending like that. Sometimes I wonder if Ripley had met Peter at first, but not Dickie. Things may be totally different.
That was the problem. In fact, I kept feeling awkward from the beginning to the end. Talented Mr. Ripley was really a powerful elixir for patients of awkward disease. But still, there are some audiences consider this to be one of the outstanding places of the movie. The director Anthony Minghella took advantage of his unique way of storytelling to make the audiences resonate with Tom Ripley, right? So we would feel the same as Ripley when he experienced those terrible things, such as when he was turned down by Dickie again and again. We may call his feeling of both embarrassment and heartbreak.
I totally agree. Tom was a delicate young man, and his emotions were worth of conjecture.
Okay, that's finished. Don't want to see you too stuck in such a repeated circle. Ripley's emotions are numerous, and the truth is that you will never completely figure him out. Alright, now for the actors. Anybody want to talk about the actors? Here, see, the golden ages of Jude Law and Matt Damon.
I won't tell you, I've been waiting for someone to put this topic on table since we start broadcasting. What they showed in Dickie and Ripley in the film were quite different from what they appear to be today. For example, a recent example, Mark Watney in The Martian. He was played by Matt Damon, right? Have you seen that?
How would I not see it? I mean, since we've been introducing The Martian in our previous Info Express from time to time, and our producer even got the opportunity to see its premiere in China weeks ago. Mark was a stanch person with a strong will. You see, completely different from Ripley. I've also heard that Damon had reduced at least 20 kilo weight for the character Ripley.
However, after he put on those weight, he was still that most sexy man in the world. A powerful plasticity makes an actor charming. I think we've been talking about this before. How about Jude Law? The last time I saw him on the big screen was in 2013, the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Well, you seem to be right. The Grand Budapest Hotel is also my last glimpse of Jude Law on the big screen. He was not so active as Damon this year, and that several years after the talented Mr. Ripley seemed to be the golden age of his acting career.
But I must confess that Jude Law's image in Cold Mountain had left an eternal impression on my heart.
Even you've seen what he looks like now?
Even I've seen what he looks like now. The classics are always the classics, such as Cold Mountain, such as the talented Mr. Ripley.
Goodness, any hour talking such a sentient atmosphere? It's quite unnatural. But, alright, let's simply end up here. I can't wait to talk about something more about affection.
You do?
Of course. After all, the talent of Mr. Ripley is a little bit too depressed for me. Again, this is Judy. Happy to chat with both of you, Charles and Elva.
Hey, wait a second. I prepared this small flashback for our audiences. It's about the first meet between Ripley and Dickie. Everything seems to be great at that time, right? I promise nobody would have thought that a little seed of love and jealousy would open the floodgates.
Everybody should have one talent. What's yours?
Forging signatures, telling lies, impersonating practically anybody.
That's three. Nobody should have more than one talent.
Okay.
Do an impression.
What, now?
Yeah.
The only talent that my son has is for cashing his allowance.
What?
Oh, I like to sail. Believe me, I love to sail. Instead, I make boats.
Stop!
Other people sail them.
It's too much. You make the hairs on my neck stand up.
Oh, yes. Jazz. Oh, jazz. Let's face it. It's just insolent noise.
I feel like he's here. Horrible. Like the old bastard's here right now.
Good.
That's brilliant. Brilliant. How do you know him?
Oh, I met him in New York.
Marge! Marge, this is scary. Come here, please.
Meet my father, Herbert Richard Greenleaf I.
Pleased to meet you. Dickie has made a fine catch.
Uncanny!
I know Emily thinks so.
I don't get it.
It's uncanny.
Could you ever consider of going to Italy, Tom, and bring him back?
What?
I'll pay you. If you could go to Italy, persuade my son to come home, I'll pay you $1,000.
What?
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
My dear audience, this is meant to be a special homosexual Christmas here in Action Frames. And now we'll continue on our LGBT theme, only this time it would be a little different. This is Cynic, joined by Daphne and Chloe.
Hi there!
Well, first, I don't really regard it as a homosexual genre film, although the lesbian part takes up quite a bit of the plot. But it's really eye-catchy at first. I thought it would be simply a love story like the other lesbian films. Then I realized I was wrong. It's far more than just affection.
Indeed, the plot mainly focused on the thrilling process of stealing the money, how everything goes out of control and how things would always dramatically turn around when it just seems hopeless.
Yeah, at some point, I have admitted that it's too dramatic, but that's how the old films deal with the twist. And I guess the directors want the film to have a touch of film noir from the 50s.
You've got the point.
I'd say the latter part of the film is almost typically a film noir. It reminds me of Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction, another classic black comedy crime film, which is among my favorites. There's no so-called good person or bad person in those films, no matter it's double cross or triple cross.
Everyone struggles for the money and their lives. You know, it's really hard trying to figure out what the director wants to express. Especially when you see the happy ending of the couple. I mean, they're technically just thieves.
Well, maybe the victory of the girls exactly emphasizes the feminism, which might just be what the film wants to express.
Feminism? Again? I remember the very first film we talked about this semester is about feminism. Guess it never goes out of the style then. But just as showing how two women outwit a man and take his money, then I think it would be a bit superficial trying to interpret the victory as feminism. I would rather take it as a victory of love.
More specifically, the victory of true love. To Violet, the relationship between Caesar and her is merely business, and just when she tries to get away from this life, Corky enters her life, people would assume there's male sex for newly met lesbians. But it's apparently not the case for them. Just as Violet says to Corky, we are the same. They're just a pair of free spirits who no longer believe in any rules or laws. All they seek for is a fresh new start, probably just an escape from their lives.
And they make it to the end. I guess it's quite beyond the audience expectation to find out it's really a happy ending, which is hardly seen in these kind of films, you know, like Thelma and Louise.
Maybe that's because the director wants to get off the beaten track. By the way, he seems to do it all through the film. You never know what's going to happen.
Like it's for Violet and Corky. Everything goes against their wills. Only by using their wits and seeking opportunities can they survive the mess.
What Violet and Corky got is the relationship both physically and mentally. The firm connection based on, well, I guess it is unavoidable to give a slight discuss about, the limited content, maybe sex? Jesus, it's awkward.
Time has changed, man. It's a part of us, something you're gonna face naturally.
Okay, keep talking about this individual liberty bullshit. The fact is that it does make some people feel uncomfortable while talking about it. And I am curious about what on earth are the playwriters meant to add this kind of elements to the plot.
What are we talking about when we are talking about sex in movies? Good question. And I actually have an answer in advance. Part of the reason is that, no denying, audiences are fond of it. More importantly,
it serves the story the same.
It doesn't make sense. So what you two mean is the humanity discussion can't go without mentioning sex.
Sort of like this. It's just a way to explain the complexity of character.
No, it's more of an idiot shouting, look at me, I'm dead, to talk about the X-rated soap pioneering. My idea is that most of them are conscious about the issue, but somehow the best way to pretend to really have an opinion is to follow the radical side or something.
Sometimes, I admit, but not all the cases. In this movie, it is wholly reasonable. Sex is the first thing that connects the two characters, being the foundation for the trust to grow, the story to carry on. Besides, elements like bloody crimes and reactionary gangs are all necessary to create impact. At least Wachowski brothers brought us a good story. I particularly like the dramatic feature of the plot, and I've heard that this piece is their maiden work, which was meant to be filmed for fun. Hard to believe, right?
Yeah. They really regard movie a lifelong career. Such attitude is rare nowadays in China.
Indeed, though the techniques are still immature, this film aroused praise worldwide and accumulates precious experiences for the later ones. 90% of the scenes are completed just in the tiny old hotel, consisting of two rooms, an elevator, and a hall. But it still turned out to be a wonderful movie filled with the sense of romantic and artistry. I have to say, admirable. That's the word.
Okay, we have reached the required duration. For more exciting information, stay tuned.
Bye!
What is this? Don't you fucking move! Where is it, fuckface? What? The money!
Okay, Caesar, I don't know what you're thinking. If you don't put on that gun,
sit down!
Caesar, what is this?
Gino, you sold the money to set me up! You fucking stole it! And I can prove it! Varen, tell him! Tell him!
For God's sake, Johnny, do what he says.
For Christ's sake, this isn't happening! Next one blows up your fucking deep! I'm looking at a dead man. You are a fucking dead man!
Enough!
Gino, don't!
Do you point a gun at me? Do you know who I am?
I'm Gino Marzoni! And as you're stupid, now give me that pistol!
No, Gino, please!
Give me that pistol!
Gino, sit down!
We are family, Caesar. Family, Caesar. Family. Now, give it to me. Good man. Good man.
Out of a long day's work, watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
What's up, everyone? Are you having a good time? I'm Monica.
Yeah, today's Action Frames is absolutely hot. I'm Judy. Here's Jake.
Now let's talk about Cloud Atlas, which is quite an innovation in movies.
How comes about that?
Let me tell you, the movie Cloud Atlas tells the stories of six different people, and interestingly, each one of them impacts on another, which makes the movie thrilling for us to watch.
In just one movie, we will be able to know the people in six different worlds.
But Cloud Atlas, from what I see, it's about past and future.
Alright, we all know it's a fantastic movie, but in consideration of today's topic, I guess we have to talk about one of the protagonists in this movie, the composer Robert Frobisher.
Oh, I can talk about him for all day long. The character Robert Frobisher is played by British actor Ben Whishaw, who lately came out in 2014.
Please do not bring that up again, okay? We already knew that, and I know I'm not making him my man. Stop daydreaming, Monica. There's no chance for you.
I don't worry about that. I'm straight, like ever.
Oh, you're so old-fashioned. Yeah, but remember our topic, okay?
Fine, but on top of the actor, I think it's the storyline between Robert Frobisher and his lover Rufus Sixsmith that moved us.
On this point, I can't argue with you. Robert is a gifted genius in music. But in light of his gay identification, he's not recognized by the public. It's easy to imagine how hard it was to come out in the old days. Even nowadays, too much pressure and too much prejudice.
He has no way but to hide from the public critics. Until he met the true love of his life, Ruth Sixsmith. They spent their happiest time with each other for quite a time before they got separated by force. That's that for them.
But genuine gold was later anyway. Robert went to a so-called musician Vivian for living and composed the most beautiful piece, Cloud's Atlas. But Vivian is not a good man. He listened to Robert's music and intends to rob it from him, threatening with Robert's secret and his reputation. Our little poor Robert is really out of the way.
At last, he shot Vivian. Might be a little bloody, but I have to say, it's the only way he can do to make it out.
Jake, let me ask you. If it were you, what would you do? Keep the music or keep the reputation?
Oh, you mean come out or stay in the closet?
Yes, if that is what you think.
I'm gonna come out and be against the world.
Brilliant! You're such a brave straight man. Come on, I don't buy it.
Seriously? Coming out is really the best choice if you're really cool with that.
True. You know what? The Robert committed suicide in the end. I don't think it is because of his identity. You know, in a time that no one is identified with you and your only lover is miles away, that's difficult.
Couldn't agree more. Here's my advice. Come out like a man.
Well...
Okay, that's all for Cloud Atlas. Thank you. To be in love with a masterpiece.
finished in a frenzy that reminded me of our last night in Cambridge. Watched my final sunrise. Enjoyed the last cigarette. Didn't think the view could be any more perfect until I saw that beat-up trilby. Honestly, Sixsmith, as ridiculous as that thing makes you look, I don't believe I've ever seen anything more beautiful. Watched you for as long as I dared. I don't believe it was a fluke that I saw you first. I believe there's another world waiting for us, Sixsmith. A better world. And I'll be waiting for you there.
May I help you, sir?
Yes, thank you. I'm looking for a friend who came to Edinburgh.
I believe we do not stay dead long. Find me beneath the Corsican stars where we first kissed. Yours, Eternity. R.F.
At Christmas and always, may peace and love fill a heart, beauty fill a world, and contentment and joy fill our days. I'm Chloe, wishing you all the blessings. Merry Christmas.
Time does fly, doesn't it? Last Christmas Day seems like a week ago, and here we're recording for another Christmas special. But however sentimental we might be for the past year, an old-fashioned Christmas blessing could never harm. Wish you all, my dearest audiences, a sparkling Christmas and a very happy New Year. I'm Sinek, see you next term.
It's Christmas now, which means, yes, it's approaching the final exam. Don't want to ruin your mood, but I do wish you all can get great grades. Anyway, hope Santa Claus can still reach you through all the heavy smoke. This is Elva. See you next year.
I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you.
Merry Christmas. I'm Jake.
Such a drunken Elvis. By the way, anyone need a boyfriend? Boyfriend? Anyone need a boyfriend? I'm Apollo. Thanks.
Christmas is a time for gladness and rejoicing because there's no class. We will be here after the new year. May happiness follow you always, just like we do. Merry Christmas. This is Monica.
Millions of people swarming like
Christmas should be a time of banked-up fires, scent of flowers and wine, good talk, good memories, and loyalties renewed. But if all else is lacking, love will do. Merry Christmas, my audiences. This is Judy.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Hello, it's Christmas. Hope you've enjoyed all our movie system and kindly remind you, don't play too much. Oh, never mind, as long as you're happy. Here, and this is Anne. I wish every one of you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
This is Stephanie. Hope all of you will enjoy an interesting and significant holiday. Thank you for supporting our program all the time.
See you next year!
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are again at one of the finest seasons of the year. And I don't know if there's gonna be snow when our program airs, but from my heart, I wish you a white and beautiful Christmas as ever. This is Charles. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Okay.
3, 2, 1
It's Christmas!
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
不是对的吗? I'm sorry, it's okay.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
等
会儿
你们唱
两
个声部，
唱
一个声
部。两个声部。两个声部。我
重
来，
搬回来。Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. 哈哈。
我有跑调吗？最后一句。
All I want for Christmas is you.
好了，哪儿都跑，
全跑，哪儿？
你不要抢我的，你不要抢我的，哈哈！不要，哎，师姐，这个师姐抢我的话。
You've got some bleeding check.
Check.
Check. Check it out.
check
it out. The composer, Robert Frobisher. Robert Frobisher. 为什么要起这么绕口音的? We already knew that, and I know I'm not making him my man. 谁进了?
好傻。
哈哈哈哈哈哈。哈哈。
还 make you man.
有趣。
哎，我前几句要说我弯成那个样，现在我要说我直成这个样子。
你弯着吧，
你是不是双脚
弯着吧
？I don't worry about that. I'm straight like ever.
你要，
我不信。
你快笑。
In search for gay and gay sex, he leaves his.
你不下去。
Is it completely stupid considering there's a war going in Berlin? Of course.And does Christopher completely ignore?
ignore?
Is it completely stupid considering there's war going in Berlin?
Oh yeah!
A classic and typical three-part BBC miniseries, which was televisioned in 2000.
我是说这也不对呀，不能做动词。我眼睛不好，不能怪我。
Telling a love story between two women.
Women.
Telling a.
But Fingersmith is more. But Fingersmith is. The thing.
However, when Ripley arrived in Italy and had a glance at the life of Dicky, 到底是 Ricky 还是 Dicky 啊？那前面那个 son Ricky 呢？
这是盗版的吗？这个？
He killed Dicky on the ship with which they prepared. He killed Dicky on the ship with which they prepared. They prepared. He killed Dicky on the ship with each with which.
Well, first, I don't really regard it as a homosexual drama film.
就这样吧。
就你还
你还挺对自己还挺宽容的。
But that's how the old films deal with the twist.
Twist. 啥玩意儿？今天有点嘴糊，还口糊，
吹一吹嘴
啊！
我要去打
一下，静一下就好了。
And does Christopher completely ignore this and go on crusading and fall in love? Yup. You should watch this.
Yup. Yup.
Mrs. Suxby proved to be the chief investigator who had
expressing her intensive love for Sue and waiting for her to back.
Therefore, when gentlemen come to make a deal with her, her agreed. She. Therefore, when gentlemen came to make a deal with her.
Oh, I know him, Jack Davenport, the 18th line.
什么鬼？
十八线吗？就这样直接？
十八线吗？为什么是十八线？是七线不可以吗？
啊？觉得你太丧了？
为什么不丧呢？
还一点，为什么要丧呢？
Hurry, I love LGBT films.
Films. 那应该怎么样 ？I love LGBT films.
I love LGBT films.
你来吧，师姐，你来。
师姐，你
来
吧。
你看就特别适合。
来呀。
Well, I'd say hands. Well, I'd say hands.
Hi.
Well, I'd say hands.
Look who's here. Look who's here. Look who's here. Look who's here.
For example, a recent example, Mark Watney in The Martian.
I think he was really handsome, and I... What the fuck? What the fuck? 我突然意识到自己在念什么。How would I... What the fuck? Since we've been introduced in The Martian... What the fuck? What the fuck?
最近，哎，烦心的事真多。
I totally agree.
I bet that every one of you remember the song the lesbian song in Japan. Every woman is a lesbian in the heart.
这歌词。
这人叫啥？
Wachowski。
沃
卓斯。
那个姐弟或者
对
兄弟，
为什么是 brothers 都变性了耶？哦，对哦。
他这里面用了一个新概念英语三那个里面的一个专语，
是少数的人。
White blanket 是这个是高中的那个哦，初中的第一课呀。
我初中没有学过。
和那个 Don't pull my legs 一起学的，想起来没有？
哦，我知道了。
我也忘了。OK， 我觉得他用错了这个词。
别管了。
我记性多好，看我这都记得住。
You can get too used to anything.
我说的啥？
Get too used to.
哈哈。
怪兽是。
Of course, as long as the idea of watching men kiss and have sex.
好香啊。And nothing.
Of course, as long as the idea of watching men kiss and have sex and Nazis doesn't bother you. Yeah.
哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈
I can very easily get out at home. I can very easily get out at home.
But I think no matter how the LGBT protection and recognition fall behind now in China,
太快了。
Jake, let me ask you, if it were you, what would you do?
我有偶像包袱。
She hit me.
为什么都笑
了？好入戏呀。
No.
来，再说一遍。
I'm gonna come out and be against the world.
World.
Oh. I'm gonna come out and be against the world.
Okay, that's all for Cloud Atlas. Thank you.
就三句没了，你好扯啊！
Yeah, I have to admit that at some point it's too dramatic.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say the latter part. I'd say the latter part of the film is. It reminds me of Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino.
Guess it never goes out.
眼睛有点花，不好意思。
I remember the very first film we talked about this semester is about feminism. Guess it never goes out of the.
What Violet and Corky got? What Violet and Corky got?
I particularly like the dramatic. Dramatic.
Like Poison, they are... Yeah, 不要提示，我知道。
And our producer even got the opportunity to see this. 不是一个人穿的，这纯粹是羡慕嫉妒恨吧，这句话。
Admirable. Admirable. Admirable.
Admirable.
Today we have to take advantage. Today, today,
today, or not to die.
That's the question.
To violate the.
我不行。
At most, there was an incident with that. With is my mother.
Oh! Okay, we have reached the required duration.
Duration is
并不知道。
什么呀？后面还有的。
后面还有啊！天啊。
对，就你把这个说了会怎样啊？
你说了会怎样啊？
我会怎样
？Anyone need a boyfriend? I'm Apollo. Thanks. Call me, maybe. Okay, male listeners, attention, please. Do you need a boyfriend?
更多节目，下载荔枝 FM 收听。